Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 6, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you, Dave?
I am swell. Thanks for having me. This is a fun topics we have on deck today.
Boy, howdy. And also speaking of fun, and for some people, this would be a weird way to get into it, but it totally works for me. Eero. Eero is our sponsor today, the Wi-Fi mesh network people. And I'm pretty excited about that. So we'll talk about them in a little bit, but I just want to hop right into it today. So let's get to it. iPhone 10. We both got ours over the weekend, so we've had a couple days to play with them, and I'm curious what your first impressions are.
Yeah, I'm impressed with this thing. Now, I come from the I don't like the plus size iPhone in my pocket group of people.
I'm in that group as well.
And I have done it for multiple years. I did it and then went completely the other direction and went SE. Right. And loved the SE. Still like the SE size when it's in my pocket because, you know, obviously it's smaller.
Right.
But when the 7 came out, I was like, okay, you know, I want to be able to test this thing. So I got the normal size 7, not the plus.
Okay. Size I had.
Yep. And it's been great. But I always wished that I could have the better camera that the plus size have. I mean, it's a remarkably different camera. Like if there's any other than the obvious screen size difference, if there's anything else that's remarkably different, it's the camera. So I always kind of wanted that. And then when they announced the 10, it was like, huh, it's a little bigger, but you know, I think I can live with this thing. And I ordered a case online ahead of the shipment so that I'd have something. It was just a cheap, you know, $8 case or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I was able to like put it in my pocket and play around with it before I got this thing. Size wise, it really, and this is a pretty thin case I have on. So this may change if I get thicker cases or whatever, but in my pocket, it doesn't feel any bigger than the iPhone 7 that was here previously.
You know, I get it. I was really concerned about the size of this phone before getting it because I have never bought the plus size phone. When I played with them in the stores, it was just too big, period. So when I got the 10, I was pleasantly surprised that it didn't really feel bigger in my hand than the 7 did.
Right.
And what I did, because I didn't order a case ahead of time, I ran over to Best Buy, which by chance has a much wider selection of iPhone 10 cases than your local Apple stores do. And I picked up a $20 Insignia case, which is a real thin one, wraps all the way around, you know, so everything's protected. And with that case on, I still feel like this phone is no bigger than my iPhone 7.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I know it's bigger because I could actually put my 7 in the case of this one, but it really doesn't feel bigger enough to make a difference. And then, of course, you know, you add to that the fact that it's the biggest screen we've ever had on an iPhone, and it has, you know, the best camera we've ever had on an iPhone. And I've been very impressed with this thing over the weekend since I started using it. Yeah.
I have been too. And speaking of the camera, what I've been doing, this is what I do every year when the new iPhone comes out. I carry my old one in one pocket and the new one in the other.
Huh?
And every time I take a photograph, I do it with both phones.
You're such a good reviewer, Jeff.
I can't help it. It's just, I want to compare the shots.
Yeah.
So last night, I had the opportunity to get to go and see a concert. It was a small venue concert. And so I was taking some shots with my iPhone 7 and then some with the iPhone 10. And I totally get that this is the first time I've really had a chance to use the higher quality cameras because I've always been in the 7, 6,
sure,
non-plus camp. Holy crap. I could not believe how fundamentally better across the board the photos with the iPhone 10 were compared to the 7.
And I assume when you say you went to a concert, that's low light and all of those things that are sort of normal at a concert. It's difficult to take pictures of a stage that's lit when you are dark.
Yes. And just so you have some idea of what this was like, it's a small venue. It was a church that was later converted into a theater space for music and
sure.
other stage events. And so they're seating for, I'm going to say, 250 people.
Oh, okay. So a small venue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a small venue. And, you know, we're sitting like right in the center.
Yep.
And I was able to just sit in my chair or stand, depending on what the song was, and just snap photos. And I was really impressed with the quality I was getting.
Cool.
Yeah.
The screen is obviously the, you know, kind of the thing you see immediately when you start looking at this phone. And I, when I first took it out and it, you know, lit up, I thought, whoa, it looks just like a piece of paper. I mean, this OLED screen, I guess I this might be me not understanding the tech fully or perhaps misrepresenting it, but it feels like the image is much closer to the top of the glass than it ever has been before. That combined with the True Tone display really makes it, especially when the screen is white, which it is during most of the setup process, really makes it feel like this thing it has a piece of paper on it. In fact, I posted that on Facebook, and actually a guy who used to work at Apple commented. He said, I said the same thing. He said, in fact, when I was in the store and they were setting it up for me, I asked the guy, hey, can you just peel the paper off of the phone? And of course, the genius pointed out, or the Apple rep, I don't know if it was a genius or not, pointed out, yeah, actually, no, that's just the way the screen looks now. You know, you're good. And he said, that's the third time today somebody has asked me to peel the paper off of the screen.
You know, I'm looking at the 7 and the 10 side by side right now.
Yeah,
and I
right.
get what you're saying. When Apple first started doing Retina on the iPhones, it felt to me like someone had done like a cell print.
Yep.
And it was backlit.
Right.
And when I look at the 10 compared to the 7, now it looks like they did more cell print, better.
Yeah. It feels like they retinized Retina is kind of the way to...
Yeah.
The way to describe that. Yeah. Speed wise, I'm impressed with this thing. It works. Having the image go, you know, almost edge to edge. It's not truly edge to edge, but far more edge to edge than any previous iPhone I've used, I thought would be an issue. You know, I thought, you know, having to use the dock at the very bottom of the screen as opposed to, you know, sort of up a little bit from the bottom of the phone, I thought that might be an issue. No, I haven't even thought about it. The lack of a home button, I now it didn't take me even a day to get used to that. And now I much prefer it, being able to just bump up from the bottom of the phone, to do whatever I need to do. It's very, very fluid, the migration to this, in terms of just user habits and all of those sorts of things.
I'm totally with you. And, yep. But hold that thought, because
okay.
I'm gonna talk about our sponsor.
Okay.
And our sponsor is Eero, and they're the people that make the Wi-Fi mesh network system that I'm using in my place. And when I say I love it, I'm saying I love it not because they're sponsoring the show, but because I really do love it. It's been fantastic for me. So the way this works is I ditched my AirPort Extreme and I put the Eero base station in, and then I hooked up the two the smaller ones, the beacons. So I hooked up the two beacons, and what they do is extend the range of my Wi-Fi network, but they do it in this seamless way and this intelligent way. So none of my devices need to think about which point they're going to connect to. The Eero just makes sure that every device is connected where it's going to get the best signal. And what they did when they went from the original Eero to Gen 2 with the beacons, which is what I have, what they did was they added in a third 5 gigahertz radio and made it tri-band. So that means the whole system runs twice as fast compared to the original model. And so that means if you're going to sit around and just pump a lot of data through your network, like you have people streaming videos and movies and working on big reports and shuffling big files around, that stuff can happen a lot more efficiently. And since it's just blanketing out the whole area that you want to cover, because you can put these beacons strategically where they're going to give you the best coverage for your area, you don't have to worry about those dead spots. You don't have to worry about, do I have Ethernet where, you know, just wherever I'm going to connect. It just works. And another thing that I like that they did was they added in a thread radio. And so that's for all of those Internet of Things low power devices. So they have something to connect to as well. And the end result is I now have this network that's faster, more efficient, and works so much better than what I had before. And I would love for all of you to get to try this out too. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to head over to the Eero website. That's Eero.com. And then pick out the Eero system you want. And when you pick that out and you get to the checkout, pick overnight shipping and then enter the promo code, which is TDO. And that code is going to get you our special promotion, which is overnight free shipping in the United States and Canada. So head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com. Use that discount code TDO at checkout. Get your free shipping in USA and Canada overnight, and you can start setting up your Eero system tomorrow, and then we can all brag about just how great Art Networks are working. Thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. All right, so Dave, you were saying how the whole thing with that flick up, the swipe gesture to just get into the phone became a very natural thing for you. And it did for me too. And when I went into this phone, Brian, he likes to say that I think every device Apple is making is going to be a disaster. And then I immediately, once I get it, think it's the best thing ever, which bless his heart.
Apple has a habit of doing that to us in its own way, though.
They do. And for me, what it is I am not willing to blindly accept that whatever Apple tells us about their new product is completely accurate. Because, of course, they went to spin it in such a way that we are really excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I had to learn years ago that especially when I attend, but even when you watch an Apple keynote on the live stream or whatever, when it's over, I always have to kind of stop for a second, you know, shake off the reality distortion field, even without Steve Jobs. That he was the master of it. And he sort of he embedded that into Apple's corporate culture and certainly their messaging. But even the people that are there now, like they still are able to communicate in a way that makes you really excited about whatever they're saying, even if it's not something that actually would excite you. And so you always kind of have to shake that off. And one of the best ways to do that is to immediately apply some skepticism and start asking yourself even some questions like, wait, would that actually be better? Or is that just them trying to keep me from looking at the thing that might not be as good? And so, yeah, I get it.
Yep. And that's how I've been with Face ID. So I did the initial setup in the Apple store with people walking all around me. So there were other faces showing up in the camera, and it was, you know, the harsh lighting. What I did was I set up Face ID in what I considered to be the worst conditions I possibly could.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's been working surprisingly well. And my concern going into the whole Face ID thing was that with as convenient as Touch ID is, would Face ID be able to match that? And I can say for the most part, it has. Where it has failed on me so far, but it's getting better. When I wake up in the morning, if I just grab the phone and hold it up to my face, the first day, Face ID didn't recognize me.
Huh.
But it learns. The second day, it did.
I didn't have that problem even on my first day. It was just right
there.
You
probably look a lot better in the morning than I do. That's probably it.
Sure.
We're going to go with that. But then the other place where it hasn't worked well for me is if my phone is sitting flat on a table and I look over at it just so I can flick up on the screen and get to the home screen. I can't do it.
Have you tried disabling, if you go into settings and Face ID, and this is worth kind of exploring for anybody that's got a 10 and for those of you that don't, learning kind of about how it works. If you go into settings and Face ID, there is a section there about attention where you can turn off require attention for Face ID, which essentially means it doesn't stop to make sure it believes you are looking at it. It just says, yep, I see the face that is registered with Face ID. We're good to go. Have you turned that off?
No, I have not. But
okay,
I just did. And
so I'm curious if that helps. Yeah.
Well, okay, so we're about to find out.
All right, well, while you're doing your test, I'll explain the other thing that's right there, right below that. Is an option for disabling or enabling attention aware features, which the description explains it. True depth camera will check for attention before dimming the display or lowering the volume of alerts, which is really nice. If you're looking at something on your phone, it won't dim the display, even if you've hit the whatever, you know, the 30 second limit or whatever you set the auto dim to. So it's interesting. That surprised me. It doesn't surprise me that Apple did it. It surprises me that Apple did it in like revision or not, you know, in revision zero, the first step out of the gate. That feels like one of those things that they would add, you know, halfway through or even to iOS 12, right? Like, it's like, let's not get fancy with our new technology. Let's just use it for the one thing, authentication. Let's make sure it works. Okay, cool. We've got that. Now let's play a little bit. You know, which tells me they've been working on Face ID for a long time if they're willing to put that kind of a feature in, which is good.
I agree.
Yep.
And disabling require attention for Face ID did not fix the problem for me.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So I either have to do an unnatural thing where I'm acting like I'm going to face desk my phone.
Yep.
Or just pick it up so it's at a better angle for my face.
Huh.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, I haven't had that issue. Have you done wireless charging yet?
No. I have not had the opportunity to play with a wireless charger.
Yeah. I ordered one Friday night from Amazon. I decided I was going to buy the least expensive one that had at least 3.5 stars of rating on there, right? Cuz this isn't a new technology, right? This is something that's been around for a long time. And I found one, $8.99. That's $8.99, much less than the $49.99 or whatever it is that Apple wants to charge you for the Belkin or Mophie one. And it arrived Sunday, and I plugged it in. And last night, that's how I charged my phone.
Well, how about if we include a link to that charger in the show notes today?
Sure. And we'll talk. We've got more to say about that. We'll go a little deeper. We'll talk more about it in Mac Geek Gab 682, which we're recording this evening. So,
oh, great. Okay. Well, then after that's recorded, I'll add a link back into the show notes for today for people that are listening through time shifting and stuff.
And just for those of you that thankfully, and thank you, have listened through to this that don't have an iPhone 10, but do have iOS 11. I think I've found a way to combat a lot of the battery life issues that people are having with iOS 11. And I'm going to share that tip in Mac Geek Gab today as well.
All right. I am looking forward to hearing that because I have a feeling whatever it is you say is going to be really useful to me.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I think you already know it though. I spilled the beans to you last week.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I'm going to listen because,
of course,
because that's how I roll.
Of course.
We are almost out of time. Is there any other feature that really stands out to you or you're really excited about or you just want to talk about?
No, I think I'm sure that will happen over time, but initial impressions are it's, you know, it's a happy little phone. I have to I've heard a lot of people saying they feel like this is the best iPhone and therefore the best device Apple has ever released. I'm not, it's too early for me to make that judgment call, but I have to weigh that against my feeling and statement that the AirPods are the best thing Apple has released in the Tim Cook era, the best new product that Apple's released in the Tim Cook era.
You know, I've had the opportunity to play with some AirPods.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I am really, really impressed with AirPods.
Yeah. I shouldn't be as an audiophile. It's like,
and yet
I shouldn't be. Right. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Nope. I totally get it. And okay. So we're out of time. I'm going to wrap up with just a very quick Animoji thing. I played with it very quickly right after I got my phone set up so that I could just see what it did. And so I sent an Animoji off to my girlfriend and she had no experience with Animoji prior to that. Like, she's so busy with everything she does, even though she loves all her Apple gear, she wasn't up on the whole Animoji thing coming. And I get a reply back, which was, "What is that? It's the stupidest thing I have ever seen."
Which success. Tells
me, success. And that right there is what love is all about. So anyhow, it was still fun to play with. So we are out of time. Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. This is a fun one.
It was fun. And my guess is we will have more to talk about with the new iPhone before long. And I'm looking forward to listening to MacGeek Gab. And I'm also glad that Eero has been our sponsor today. Head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com, and pick out the Eero Wi-Fi mesh system that you want. And I'm so happy with mine. And then when you get to checkout, you can choose that overnight shipping for United States and Canada. Use that discount code TD0, and that promotion is going to get you free overnight shipping. So go pick out your Eero. Thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.